Coco wee wee, come on. Coco wee wee, come on. We're doing it. We're talking. Gonna seek the truth about other things and other things and other things and other things.
Yay, baby! I'm gonna warn you guys. This is a pre-recorded show.
Yes.
Coco and wee wee are coming to you. Pre-recorded.
We have this. It's Tuesday night. It's Tuesday night, but we're recording because rules are all kaputsky. We have to pre-record evening. It is evening, and we're having a cocktail. So this could get
crazy.
Oh
my God! We've never done a show. Well, actually, I have done.
Coco,
what have you
done? I have done the show that we had Dad and Danny on. I had some wine while we were doing it because I was hungover, so I had some hair of the dog.
We have some liquor in the house.
We do have liquor.
And
we had kind of a, not an icky day, but we had a day of, we had to film something.
And
we can't say what it is yet, but we did film something
we
today.
We did film something, but.
And we can do it tomorrow.
Do it tomorrow. And also, having a cocktail and doing this could be the key. Maybe I should start drinking at 30 in the morning.
Let me tell you, Bloody Mary are my
Bloody and Bloody.
I am having. Sure, when we play this for you tomorrow. Tomorrow it will 30.
You'll be listening to it at 8:30.
But I just concocted I took whatever we had in the house and made this drink. Got Jaeger.
Ooh.
Jaeger Meister vodka.
Wow.
That?
Sorry, that was not separate. It was not a fart.
It's got Jägermeister vodka and Bailey's Irish Cream hazelnut.
Together?
Try it. She's going to be like,
I made vodka and fresh pineapple juice.
Delish. Very, her drink is really good.
God, yours is really good, but I'd be on the floor with that thing.
Leave it alone.
If it's slow, Coke.
When you're an alcoholic like I am, you can drink lighter fluid and be fine.
Yay!
Oh my God, I love, I love this time. Maybe we should switch our show to
I know.
Time.
I like this.
I think we should do
we
it
get
right.
Get a nice cocktail.
I think we
get
should.
Get cozy and everybody.
Yeah, I think we should send it a little
down. What are we going to do with Monday evening? Somebody do a show.
I don't know. We have to check.
We
have
to double
shows.
Check. We have
new
show
coming on.
You know, I want to talk about a show.
Uh-oh.
Oh, nah, nah. What's my name?
She didn't
sing that. But we went to see Rihanna Friday in Nashville, last Friday. And we waited till the last minute to get tickets because we are cheap. Sorry, Rihanna.
We're not cheap. We're broke.
Yeah.
Let's
just say we're cheap.
Listen to me. Rihanna played the Bridgestone Arena here in Nashville, and Wee and I were like, the tickets, we knew the good sections. Now,
I know the sections.
Yeah, we don't want to go to a concert and go in the nosebleed
section. I don't want shitty seats.
No.
I don't want to see sorry.
The point.
I
you know what I'm saying? So I was like, come on, we went in and like we got this one. We went to the, what do you call it?
The box office.
You're like,
but it's not even called Bridgestone anymore. It's called Nissan. They fucking have changed.
Oh, when we walked up through the crowd to go, like, let's go to the box office because we've had friends that have gone to
at
the box
last
office.
Minute.
Yeah.
If you go to the box office, they'll basically give you the ticket. Very cheap.
Once the concert starts, so we go in. First of all, the women.
I've never seen women this hot except for in New York. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be back to my New York house.
Oh my God.
But there, I was like, where are we? Because I never see girls dressed like this.
Oh my God.
Half naked.
But these girls at the Rihanna concert were so gorgeous, staring.
I didn't know where to look. It was too much beauty. Too much beauty.
I have not seen exotic looking women like this since we lived in New York.
The clothes, I'm like,
wow.
Where are they shopping? But I've realized women shop online now. You can buy whatever you want online.
But the thing is, like, the only exotic girl that lives in Nashville is Wee. It's true.
Yes.
No.
And I've even toned it down a lot.
I know.
I need to bring sexy back.
You do. You need to bring sexy back after that.
I need that sexy back.
There was something really funny though. Like, somebody lost their Wee on the sidewalk.
Oh my God. There's a fucking Wee on the floor.
I'm going to put the picture up.
You're not a very good one either.
So we go in and we get this one girl. We get online and like one girl. We're like, what do you have? Like, what do you?
She's like, it's $150.
Yeah, and she showed us like nosebleed beads. Like, we knew the sections that we wanted, and they were like.
She said they were $150 for the last row, basically. I'm like, fuck that. I'm paying $150. To see.
Right, like I could have done it, but then I definitely wouldn't.
Then we couldn't eat for like 2 weeks. But Another thing that's very strange here, I don't know what goes on anywhere else, but there's, like, legal scalpers.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
Explain this to them.
Okay. Yeah. I never knew this, but I thought that people, yeah, there's these men that have signs that say, I need tickets. And, like, you can just go up to them and buy tickets. The cops are standing right there. I'm like, this is weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. So we went up to them because we're like, maybe they'll give us a deal. They're licensed to sell them because I was like, am I going to get a license if I buy a ticket from you? They're like, no, we have badges that say that they could legally street sell tickets, which is so crazy.
Yeah, I don't get it, but they come up to you and say, do you want to get rid of your tickets or do you need them?
Do you have tickets or do you want to buy tickets?
Yeah, it's weird.
But anyway, their tickets are too fucking expensive, too, for the last row, $120. I'm like, buddy, I know where this section is.
Right.
Don't fool me.
Yeah, she knew. We know the section.
I knew.
You knew the section.
But anyway, we're hopeless. Me and Coco are hopeless. We fell in love in a hopeless place. With this blazing in my ear. And we're like, we cannot
oh my God.
Be failures at this.
I know.
We
I would
have
been
to go.
Upset. Like, we drove all the way down there. I'm like, we have to do it. I'm like, we're going back in. We waited to the concert opening act. I don't even remember who it was.
Oh, it's something got. He wasn't bad.
I mean, we didn't really even go in to see him, but. So we go back in, and I find this great lady, older lady,
mm-hmm. who has a smile
office.
On her face.
I am a single mother on the edge.
Do you have a life?
Understand? I need to see Rihanna. Mm. This is my only night because I wish, like, I fantasize about being Rihanna. Like,
when I see Rihanna, I'm like, that's what I could have been.
Yeah.
And my life turned to shit.
Yeah.
I feel like me and Rihanna, like, we're some kind of long lost sisters. Okay.
And they have the same boobs.
With the same boobs, like, with the same eyes.
They do.
We're somewhat related somehow.
I just love her. I just love her. She's so. Wow. But so I'm like, this lady, I'm telling you, this lady's going to help us out. We got tickets.
Oh, my God. Guess how much? $2. No, I wish. They were under
$30.
Okay, we're not going to make anybody jealous, but we had really good seats.
Oh, my God.
Magic Mike, terrible seats. Well, guess what? It was a side view, but I liked the side view.
Oh, my God. It was front row of the tier. Which was awesome.
Oh, my God, amazing.
And Rihanna, like, what I loved about it was she was in shock about how cool Nashville
crowd
was.
Yeah, because you know why? I've been to many concerts in Nashville. The only other concert where people get out of their seats the whole time and have fun is New Kids on the Block. Stevie Wonder, Billy Joel, another, I can't definitely mention one other, but nobody gets out of their seat. They sit down the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. They just enjoy it because everybody's a fucking musician and this person thinks they're going to be the next whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Not Rihanna.
The whole row of people that we were with.
Screaming, dancing. I mean,
we danced and it was such a, first of all, it was such a magical concert. She was so in shock how cool the crowd was. She was like, oh my God, she had never performed there before. I don't think she's ever performed
there. She's never performed here. You know what? A lot of people have never come to Nashville because it's known for terrible audience response.
Right.
It really is.
Exactly. But she kept saying, she's like, Nashville, I wish I to every city because
it's
thank
magical.
You.
And the thing is, it's not a bad audience because they're booing. They're just not fucking doing anything.
Right, right.
They're not doing a dance.
But you know what I loved about Rihanna was that she didn't have an overdone action. She had minimal dancers.
White stage. No kind of pyro shit.
No, thank God. And you know what I loved? The sound.
Oh, my God.
It was so good. There was nothing like
sound.
She sounded
amazing.
She looked beautiful. Her costumes were amazing.
Minimal dancers. Like, her costumes were sexy, but very elegant. Like, nothing overdone. I hate going to concerts and it's like
it's
robotic.
I feel like she was holding back a little bit.
Her sexiness.
She
was very sexy. She held back.
Like, the way she dances, I've seen her on other concerts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way she was dancing was
not
as
pumping. She wasn't twerking.
She was
much.
Beautiful and she was so sweet. And it was just a magical night. And the thing
is,
right?
Amazing.
Because we were, I mean, we, once we got the tickets, we were like,
oh my God!
And we didn't care about the opening. I'm like, we're fucking drinking. We are having drinks.
Worst bartender.
Oh, my God. First of all. Okay.
Let's put it this way. I asked the bartender for a white wine. He looked like he's never heard the word white and wine in his fucking life.
Seriously.
But the only good thing he had no front teeth. The only good thing is he charged me the wrong price.
Yeah.
Those drinks are expensive. They're like $10, $11.
Right.
He charged me $6. So thank you.
Well, the thing is, there was a menu and it said double wine,
$10. They were like, we can't give you a double wine. I could give you $2.
Why are you charging me $21 if it says double wine?
They didn't
$10?
know. Let's just say, worst bartenders most
ever.
So we got in, and I'm like, I don't care.
She got up to get a drink. I said, don't get up to get a drink. You're going to miss the opening.
No, well, we got our wine drink. And yeah. then we're like, let's go.
Couldn't have just one.
And then
I'm like, could not
I'm
just
like,
ended
no,
at one.
I'm like, hey, wait, we need to have another, because we're at Rihanna, and it's magical, and we're doing it. So I said, I'm going to get a drink. And I thought I had enough time.
No,
but,
no, and her phone was king dead. I'm like, texting her because I saw the band was under the stage at first, and I saw them all getting their gear on. I'm like, oh no, she's gonna fucking.
But I met this really cool girl online, her name's Claire. Beautiful. She's from
Memphis. Me also.
And she
did
said,
you give her your number?
I didn't because I told her to look up Coco maybe, but if you do, Claire, I'm gonna give her a shout out.
Hi,
she's
Claire.
Gorgeous. She was Lebanese.
Oh.
And she was
like,
say what? Claire, are you there? Was that Claire saying that?
Saying that.
Oh no, why do we? Oh, because I didn't set it for long enough, you beesh.
Oh no. Okay, well,
now what do we do?
Okay, let's clip it off here and then we'll go. We can, it doesn't matter if it's not on.
What do you mean? We can
combine
them? Anyway, shout out to Claire.
Okay, Claire, Rihanna, awesome, great show. If you are anywhere near where Rihanna is going to be in concert, I suggest you go. But I will warn you, there was no encore.
I know. Oh, yeah.
I've never been to a show where there was no encore.
I know. It's so weird. And it was weird. Like, nobody even tried to get an encore. They just
left. Like, because you know what? They're probably her diehard fans, and they tell you this, and they know she's not going to do
yeah.
it. I wonder if she's never done an encore.
No, was her last song?
It was like, I like that song, but I don't know if she should have ended that. She should have ended like, work or something.
Yeah.
But a lot of times when that was only like her second show.
Really?
It was either her second or third show of the tour. So a lot of times
they tweak
by the end of the show, like the tour, it'll be different.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She didn't come back. Everybody just knew. I guess they had already looked up like her
set list. But I was surprised that she came in with work like pretty soon. Oh, bitch, I had my money. That was like
that was
very
early into the show. I mean, she can't. So what I was saying was I went to get another drink.
Yeah.
As soon as I ordered the drink, she came out, and they were taking forever.
I knew it.
And I was like, me and Claire were like, ah!
I knew it. She came out today, and I love that song.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she came out today.
She did Live Your Life.
Hey.
And she did Cool Guy
Down the Night.
And we were praying the drink would come out. We didn't come out.
Drink. Maybe he'll come to Nashville. Maybe.
But Rihanna, I just want to say, I'm sure he won't. Who knows? Maybe she'll.
You never know.
I'll tweet at her and she'll listen to this. You're an inspiration and you're beautiful.
We love you.
We love you.
Okay, so leading into, we're going to into Love and Shove because I kind of have to do it right now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Who do you love?
Who you going to love?
Who do you show?
Who you going to show? Anyway, my love, I'd like to start out with Wee Wee, for those of you who don't know. Okay, Wee Wee, and you're listening to the Coco and Wee Wee Show, episode number 23 on Totally Driven Entertainment on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Anyway, my love is, this is going to be the corniest love I've ever had. I'll tell you this now. Corny alert. I love how music brings people together and how music is very healing. Hence the Rihanna concert. Because they were mostly women, but they were women of like every size, shape, color, ethnicity, and like it just like you could see Rihanna, the gratitude that she has. Mm-hmm. Like at the end of the concert, she was like thanking God and thanking everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like when you are blessed with a gift like that, it's like the most amazing. Being able to like capture people with your music is one of the most powerful things in the world. More than acting, more than anything.
More than anything. I think like and the thing is,
because you're doing you're acting, you're dancing, you're singing.
Yeah.
It's like everything all in one.
Singing and writing songs is very personal. The thing is this: when we were at Rihanna, like I almost wanted to cry because like we were singer songwriters. I don't like to say work because I still think we have that talent, but like I feel like we at least should have been songwriters because
I don't know where that went awry, but I feel like I can't even. It's taken me a very long time to like even in songwriting because it's so painful. Like comedy and the comedy stand up and Coco Beebe show, the YouTube series and this, it's like a breeze. But when I think about the music that we made together, I will cry. I want to cry. We really sat down and we wrote songs.
Yeah, together.
Together that were, like, you write about your life, and that's not always, you know, we did have some nice songs.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think it's way harder to be singer-songwriter.
An artist. It's way harder.
Songwriter is way harder because
comedy is, like, second nature. I don't know.
Comedy, with comedy, if you have something that you're experiencing that other people can relate to,
then bam.
That's it. That's all you need.
But that's how music is. But it just depends on...
Different. It's
bigger.
It's bigger. And it's more putting your soul out there, I think. I don't know.
Because it's you.
Yeah. But, like, watching Rihanna, I'm like, that's it. I am fucking going to sing again. I'm going to pretend that I'm going to, like, make a persona up, and I'm going to fucking stop singing it.
Hey, well, I watched American Idol, and I just wanted to... I've been watching it religiously, and there's an artist on there. She's 22.
Yeah.
Like, I look way younger than she is.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? She doesn't look 22. She could be lying. Who knows?
Sometimes I look at Wee Wee, and I'm like, there's no way that she's
not...
Well,
that's how I feel about you.
25 years old.
Yay! Okay, who was your love?
Rihanna. I'm sorry. It's
a
Rihanna.
Oh, wow.
It's a Rihanna fest. But going to that concert, I always have, like, I don't know, things going on in my life that...
No,
that
we
all do. Yeah. That we all do. I'm not where I want to be. Society's like, you know, society, whatever that is going to judge me. They'd be like, oh, you're 42 and, like, you're still trying to do this and that.
Oh,
like,
suck it.
You don't have, like, like the house and the vacation house and, like, two cars. I just feel like going to the Rihanna concert for a single mother is, like, huge.
Oh, my God. Totally.
I know I already said this, but the thing is, it's a huge thing because it's in a... And it's, like, become part of this... You know, for the 2 hours that she performed, I did not think about anything.
You didn't think about whack, 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 whack,
exactly.
Whack, whack.
Exactly. So that is
okay. Speaking of whack, I want to do my shiv. My shiv is going to be having to work. I work a multitude of jobs.
Good.
Let's just say that. I work a multitude of jobs, so I don't have to work the same job every single day over and over and over. I have to do that. I be in a straitjacket. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm shoving having to work at all things that don't have my heart. Okay? Let's just say that. I just want to make a living doing this show. And doing a show with my sister, a sitcom, reality. I'll fucking get a reality show. I don't care what it is. I just would
better than that.
I know. I would just like to make a living off of our creative talent. God damn it, we deserve it.
Well, there's millions of people in the world that do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've done it. I told Coco today, I have gotten myself into the mindset of, no, everything I want, I will have. And I did when I got on Dating Naked. I was telling her about all the experiences that I had doing that show, living in this beautiful house, and being flown country, and all these happening to me, and then coming to a halt, very hard to go back to a normal
life. Oh, my God. I know. Like, when we was filming, she wasn't really allowed to talk to me.
No.
It was very rare. They took your phone and all that.
Yeah, they take your phone.
Like, once in a while, I would get, like, pictures of where she was. And
like,
I was
this fucking amazing
God.
House I lived in. And, like, you know, just whatever you want, any time of day, they get it for you. And everybody treats you so amazing, like you're a star.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, okay, move on to the next season. Who the fuck are you?
But it doesn't...
But the thing that drives me nuts is I still get recognized.
This is...
I just got recognized the other day.
My God.
Two years later.
Everywhere I go with her, no matter where we go, we get fucking laundromat. And they'll be, like, staring and whispering. And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, the thing is, I always say this. Esther Hicks, look her up, Google her, go to YouTube, listen to her videos. And she has a good point. The people that work the most and the hardest in this life, fucking money. They're working as... And the thing is, we both have experiences, like you said. The more I have worked, and like, I'm gonna work hard.
Mm-hmm.
I've had, when I've laid back and been like,
Ben.
And I say this every week. Key.
The key to work smarter, not harder.
You know what my shove is?
What?
Humans.
Humans.
Because nothing. Listen to me, people.
Nothing human.
Any fucking good.
That is from the words of my
father, Frank J. Torricelli.
It's true. Nothing human is any fucking
nothing
good.
Nothing human is any.
Think about
any
it.
Any fucking good. And what that means is,
I'm sorry, but if you're only connecting to your humanness, all you will get is
it's
shit
bullshit
and turmoil.
It's bullshit.
You need to connect here.
Yeah.
I don't care what religion you are. All religions are beautiful. I have from reincarnation to Catholicism to Judaism. It's not about religion. It's about connecting to your higher power. And do not give in to fear. That is the most corniest thing, but I'm telling you now, do not give in to fear. They say it in the friggin' play run, okay?
Listen, I know you're probably like, oh, you can't say this to me. Do not give in to fear. Do not give in to fear.
Guess what? Stop giving it to fear. Put a fucking box of pineapples. Then you really won't give a shit.
I am guilty of it. I get scared, and I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
But guess what,
she
people?
She drives me nuts.
I will say this every fucking show.
Holy
and
God.
Because I only need to convince myself as well.
You can wake up dead.
Come on.
You can't wake up dead.
Let's
no,
just say,
you can our health. We all have, you gotta be grateful for what you have, number one.
Yeah.
Okay? This is a preachy shit. We don't like it.
Screw it.
Out.
Listen, you gotta be grateful for what you have, to things that you really want. But it's true, you can be dead tomorrow. So why would you waste your time doing things you don't want?
I don't know who came up with that.
Yeah, who built this?
Who
fucking
said that?
Go to work.
You gotta have your retirement fund. You gotta have your where your finances and your retirement
plan
and your benefits.
That's all well and good. I'm not telling you to go rot your teeth out of your mouth and kill yourself. I'm just saying,
if you're worried about that, then that's what you're gonna get. Anyway,
let's just move on.
Preaching.
What are we doing next? Are we doing good news or outrageous?
Let's do outrageous first.
We gonna do outrageous news. Totally outrageous news. It's not outrageous.
Oh, Chatrice.
Okay, who do
we
want to go first?
Okay, so mine's quick and short. My outrageous news is a girl tweeted rapper Xzibit. You remember the rapper Xzibit? He hosted Can You Pimp My Ride.
Does he have a song?
He has music, but I mean, do you even remember?
I don't know. I can't.
No. I saw him open up for Eminem at Jones Beach. I remember this years ago. Okay. I still couldn't tell you what the song is.
I can't remember.
She tweeted to him, Can You Pimp My Ride? And he answered, No, bitch. Shit's been done over a decade. Get a job. Now, in his defense, has been over since 2000. Show's been over a long time. In 7 years from now, somebody still asked me about being naked. Be an asshole, too. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I think that he was being an asshole.
Asshole!
Yep, exactly. Listen, that was your pretty much only claim to fame. Let's embrace it. When people are recognizing and asking about it, I'm very happy to tell you. Because that was my only fucking 15 minutes of fame. I will go on and on about it. You want to fucking ask me anything? Xzibit, don't be in it.
Oh, God. Well, mine is like, it's just like hearsay, and we don't know if it really happens, but I read an article about like celebrities that are not really nice, and supposedly, now you tell me what you think. This girl, when she saw Adam Levine.
Oh, yeah, you saw.
Lead singer of Maroon 5. What is he, a coach on The Voice? What do you call him?
He's a judge and a coach.
Okay. She asked him for an autograph. And you know what allegedly, you don't know if this is true, this is allegedly, said to her, autograph, ugly chick.
Wow.
Do you think he said that?
But he might have said something else.
Ugly, would he really say that? Do you think?
I mean, he looks like he could be
maybe
a
she went up to somebody. There's someone here in Nashville.
Yeah.
Who I think is an asshole.
Who
looks like, he looks like ugly version of Adam.
Ooh.
He looks like an ugly version of Adam Levine.
I'm
I have
trying
to
get his name
county
down. Yes. I know who you're talking about. Yes. I know exactly who you're talking about.
He looks like Adam Levine. Maybe she saw him and he told her.
Oh.
In the dark.
Oh, my God.
In the dark.
What if it was him?
In an airport.
He would totally be a dick.
He would be a dick.
He would
and
totally.
And I did see on this guy's face.
Girl thought I was Avril.
Oh, my God. If maybe
I said Avril Levine.
Avril Levine.
Yeah, people.
Oh, shit. That's really possible.
I don't know. The thing is, I'm not really a Levine. My ex-husband. So I'm not
such a fan.
Well, I saw Adam Levine and Whole Foods
right
a few years ago, and I was like,
wow,
he's very tall and very handsome.
Very tall?
He's, I mean, to me, I'm short, but I was like, anyway, I was like, wow, that guy is strikingly handsome, and he was looking at me, and I looked at him, but he saw that I was figuring out who it was, and he looked away really quick.
You know, here in Nashville, people don't care about celebrities. We've talked about this. They don't give a shit.
No, they don't care.
I was behind what's his fucking name? What's his name?
Tobey Maguire.
I didn't tell him off.
Kind of. And I
It was annoying. Like, fucking make your mind. I'm looking at the menu for like. Anyway, nobody cares about celebrities. Yet.
No, Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban were standing right next to me. Nobody cares. Anywho.
So, I don't know about. I don't even know if I like his voice. Put on voice. I don't know. It's all right. All freaking right.
Anyway, I got some good news that I can.
You got good news?
Good news. This girl wrote an article about how it's her happy anniversary of getting fired.
Oh,
yeah. It's her 3-year anniversary from getting fired. Mm-hmm. Okay, she was let go. Well, she says let go in parentheses. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they call it. Laid off. They took her job, which she didn't go into details of what it was.
Yeah.
But she was brought into a dark conference room, told that her company no longer needed her. And, like, she was, like, sobbing. And, like, she had to be consoled. After that, like, after the shock of it, of being let go, whatever, she realized, like, what she wanted to do. Because she said after she was let go, she, like, didn't have a job, and she was thinking about what the hell she can do.
Right.
And she had all this time to figure out what she really wanted to do. She was wasting her time at this job that she didn't really like.
Yeah, she didn't care.
And she figured out that she wanted to be a writer. So she went to school for journalism, but at first, she was like, how am I going to do it? Journalism is going to take me forever.
Right.
But she said once she went, you know, she went to school for it and started writing, she felt like the job she hated was, like, lifetimes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, like, her dream. So it didn't feel like all this time was being wasted, basically. But anyway, the best thing she said in this article, and her name, if you want to follow her,
yeah,
on
what's
Instagram,
her name?
Her name is Marissa Cabo. I started following her. She didn't go into detail about herself very much. I think she just wanted to, like, it was, like, therapeutic to her.
Right.
But basically, at the end of the article, she said something so amazing, I think. She said that when you give up for a dream, you no longer feel captive. You know, because when you work a job that is not your dream, you feel like you're a prisoner.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But when you work a job that is your love and your passion,
right,
then it doesn't feel like you're working,
mm-hmm,
which is so true.
Oh,
which is what I fucking had.
Right.
And then I lost it, and I want it back.
No, you didn't lose it.
I want it back.
It's going to be grander.
So Marissa, M-A-R-I-S-A,
mm-hmm,
Kaba, K-A-B-A-S, she has an Instagram, but she writes for the Huffington Post.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And she writes for some other sites, but she's cool. I mean, good for her. Congratulations, I'm glad you're fired.
Yeah.
This is very inspiring to me.
Yeah. It's so weird doing the show pre-recorded because I, like, hard to talk. I'm talking to you, but I'm saying, like, it's really weird.
Oh, she needs an audience.
It's so weird that we don't have, like, a light. It's like, this will not taste in front of a live audience. About my good news. I thought this was really sweet. I found this on sunnyskies.com.
Oh.
And they always have great good news. South Carolina teachers started the gentlemen to teach boys with no fathers life lessons.
Oh my God.
So, like, you know, they invite little scholars to don their Sunday best every Wednesday.
Oh.
And they meet at their gentlemen's club and they learn life lessons of success. Raymond teachers says the motto of the club is look good, feel good, do good. Nelson primarily works with at-risk children, and it dawned on him, like, after reflecting on his own attendance of a similar group, he said, and I'm quoting, I was thinking maybe I have the boys dressed for success. When was the last time you saw someone fighting in a tuxedo? And he teaches the youngsters how to properly shake hands, make eye contact.
Oh, how cute!
And even buy shirts and ties for the kids who can't afford them. And then he says, this is the voice that I picture him saying.
Well, when they know someone cares about them, they like the reaction of people walking up to classrooms. You look so nice and handsome.
Alan Club has been such a hit.
Aw, Papa.
School district officials say they want other schools to begin gentlemen's programs.
Aww.
And that's cool, too. And I think that is so important. I almost cried.
Oh, my God.
I'll put the picture of them
yes,
on my
please.
Facebook because, you know what?
there's so many men out there
who are not fathers.
First of all, they don't know how to be men.
No, they don't.
Because their fathers, you know, skipped out on them. So this is such an important thing that he's doing, and I want to give.
I love it. Aww, pizza.
So I'm really excited, and I hope that. I don't even know if I'm saying his name right, but soon we have Simon Mardew. Is that how you think? Simon, I'm sorry if we're not saying right. I'm gonna ask him.
We need some clarification on.
But he is amazing.
Oh my God, his trailer. God.
He is a screenwriter, right? Am I correct?
He wrote, produced, and edited the sizzle reel of The Unseen, which the trailer really, I have to watch, the scariest thing I watch is American Horror Story, which is very scary.
Oh, yeah.
I still have the last Lady Gaga season. I haven't watched it because it's over. But I heard one of my friends tell me, you will have to sleep tonight, and I'm not ready for that.
Is it over, though, that?
It's over.
Okay.
I don't know, Lady. I haven't even tapped in.
Nobody tell Lady the
Freak.
End.
No, it's not Freak Show. It's
Hotel. Right?
Hotel. But I can't even get into it because you don't understand. When you get into the show, you will not sleep. It's very terrifying. But this trailer, it's more like, I guess, it's a little scary. Not scary. It's what's the word I'm looking
I don't
for?
Have, like, it's very eerie.
It's eerie, definitely.
It's eerie. Like, I had to, when I watched, I'm gonna tell Simon this for a moment, because it reminds me of, do you remember the movie Stigmata?
Patricia Arquette's in that.
Stigmata kind of like, I don't know, it's just eerie. That's how
it's very, I want to know, like, what inspired this idea, and also I want to know where he filmed it, because I know he lives in New York, but that does not look like New York.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking to him after commercial, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to do a commercial break, and then we're going to call Simon.
And we're going to say, Simon,
when we call him, this is going to sound like,
hello, Simon, how do you get your commercial break?
Wow, I hope not.
Tell us how to do a chilling commercial break.
Commercial break.
Maybe we should just talk and ask him.
Hey, yeah, because he doesn't know how we sound.
I know. Like,
Simon, you start your movie. Hello?
Oh, my God. Let me tell you about this dream I had.
Oh, no. Because
we have a couple minutes.
Oh, shit.
This was the most disgusting.
Oh, my God.
This is how my mind. Okay? I didn't get to tell Wee Wee my dream because Darian was home.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay? I fucking woke up in the night and I'm like, I am.
Oh, no.
I dreamt that I was in the movie theater.
Oh, Jesus.
With some guy. I don't know who the fuck it was. And we were watching this trailer for a movie, but it was a documentary about some Chinese lady, Chinese girl who was undercover working for the Chinese government to try and catch men that do, what is that, trafficking? Sex trafficking.
Oh, no.
And how she caught them was with her vagina.
Saw her vagina?
Yeah, no, I didn't, I saw them, like, in the trailer.
I know inspired it.
What?
A girl sent me a picture of her vagina.
Maybe, but I didn't see that picture. You didn't show me it. Asian woman, she was from China. She would get these men to have sex with her. And then as they were having sex, she had this. Somebody interpret this to me. She had metal jaw-like things in her vagina. And in the middle of them having sex, she would clamp him down.
What?
And be like, you are under arrest. And fucking clamp down on their penises. And
I think lost your mind.
And they'd be like, oh, fuck is that?
I think you lost your ever-loving mind. After, I had a dream that Coco was in my dream. She was pregnant in a supermarket.
I wish.
Wheeling around a food cart, and she was running around. I kept telling her, be careful, because she's going to hurt the baby, and she just kept laughing. Vaginas, babies, I don't know. We got to go to commercial break.
Okay, let's go.
Attention, sports fans, collectors, hobbyists, and autograph seekers. Are you looking for the best in sports cards and collectibles? The only name you need to know is Carl's. That's right, Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA not only has the best collection of sports memorabilia, cards, game, used merchandise, and autographed signings of top professional athletes, he also does custom framing too. Go to carlscards.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Carl's Cards. That's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Remember, Carl's, the only and best name in sports cards and collectibles. For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5.
This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in Southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Trash City Beads, the great bead store with the weird name. Selling beads and findings for over 25 years. Visit us online at trashcity.com. Like us on Facebook at Trash City Beads. Unique beads, charms, crystals, and findings from all over the world at wholesale prices. No store, no showroom. We are online only. Visit us at trashcity.com. Trash City Beads is your online source for the best beads on the planet. Remember the name, Trash City Beads.
Hey, everybody. This is Nick Wilkinson from TV Nation and Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment. Sadly, each year, approximately 3.6 million children become victims of child abuse. My latest ebook, Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect, explores the long-lasting effects abuse can have on victims. Explore life after the abuse ends and how we cope with the tragedies of the past. Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect is available on Kindle for only 99 cents. And don't forget to check out my website, actingnotreacting.com, a common sense approach to teens in crisis. Let's work together and make this world a better place. And remember, stay driven.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
Hey, Tino, and here we are. Weary isn't here because she sharted.
No, I didn't.
Problem. Weary was hangry. We are totally going to call Simon right now.
Yeah. Do you know how to do it? Are you cuckoo?
Are you cuckoo?
I was just saying, anybody else have a freak? Do I dial one? Does anybody else have a cat that they find really type annoying?
You know what? I used to love cats. I love animals.
Yeah.
I would never do anything mean to my cat. But I'm saying, like, once you have a baby, you're like totally over that shit.
I don't even have a baby animal. I get nervous.
Me too, I'm so nervous.
Hello? Hello?
Simon?
Hi, how you doing
there? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly.
Wow. This is
Hello?
And Wee Wee.
hey, I'm just sorry, I apologize. Can you pronounce your last name? I think I've been pronouncing it wrong.
It's pronounced Mordhew.
Well, did we say it right?
No, you didn't say it right.
Oh my God, we are so excited. We were just talking about we want to know, first of all, like what we wanted to tell you, when we watched the trailer, this is Coco. Stop it, because I was like, eerie and like
very eerie.
Chilling. I'm like, I gotta stop this. I was like hyperventilating at one point. Like, wow. Where did you get that idea from?
Well, basically, actually, a lot of the idea came from, I got a bit of a cold. A lot of the idea came from my childhood, to be honest with you. Gonna sound really crazy, but when I was very young, I don't know, I could just see things. I could see apparitions. I could see, I guess, you know, you gotta call them ghosts, right? I mean, child, I could see things. I'd wake up in the night, be there, and moving around the room, and there would be shadows, and I would hear voices, and it was all, you know, it was very jumbled when I was young, but there was a lot of, what should we say, it just seemed like there was something trying to get through to me. I couldn't quite hear it. It was there, and it was pretty intense. And when I was older, a little older, I met this young girl, and she took me to what we call spiritualists in England, you know, who are very much like clairvoyants. And we went to this spiritualist church, and, you know, I sat down. I was kind of, you know, I don't know, the kind of kid who would go anyway, you know. It would just be, okay, whatever, let's just do it. So I sat there, and there was a woman up on the podium, and she pointed at me, and she said, you can see things. You can see things on the other side. You can see auras, and you have guardians that walk with you. You have a dog that everybody was afraid of that is with you right now. And sure enough, when I was very young, there was a dog, right, literally my back garden fed into another back garden in the back, and there was a fence between us. An Alsatian used to jump up and scare everybody. But I would go over and it would just be okay with me. Passed away, and we, you know, I never thought about it, but sure enough, it was like, oh, you've got an Alsatian that's looking out for you, and another woman and somebody else there, and I'm like, whoa, this is so weird and trippy. And, you know, that's just one part of the puzzle. The writer, these are things that grew older. Definitely lost contact with all of that stuff. To the way I read a lot about it, and apparently when we're quite young, if we have a connection to a world, if we have that connection to something beyond, you know, it's because we're so young and we haven't, in a way, our minds, bodies, and souls haven't been polluted with everything else that growing up, and you have to do this, you have responsibility, you have all these things that take you away from that dream state. Come from, I believe, you know, when we're born. So that's one, definitely one element. That was huge, you know, in me thinking about these things. Yeah.
Wow. I was not expecting that answer.
So let me ask you this. So that was just like sizzle reel. So you haven't finished the whole film. Am I correct?
Yeah, I'm in the process of taking a long time. I mean, as a person who, you know, I have to work, you know, as do many other people. As do many other people on the planet. As a person who has to work, I'm a chef, so it's very difficult, you know, find the energy at the end of the day to sit down and go, hey, okay, let's go, let's have a shower, eat something, and sit down and, like, try and focus on this and focus on where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's just been something that I've attempted to do piecemeal, and something that, you know, I've written a lot of other scripts. This script was something that, it was actually a novel. It started as a novel that I wrote when I was young and tried to publish it, and I was very naive, and this is when I was living back in England, and didn't happen, and I was angry, and one night I got drunk and I burnt the whole manuscript and everything. Like,
oh, no!
I threw the lot on a fire, right? That's crazy, right? And then for years and years afterwards, it kind of, it haunted me, and just literally, right? And
I'm so sorry, I just want to ask you. We had a couple of filmmakers on in the past couple of months, and they did
Kickstarters.
For, and the last one that did our show, he got a full funding. Would you ever think of maybe consider that, like do a Kickstarter for
it? Absolutely. It's where my head is. I'm thinking, because I did some research into Kickstarter, and I did some research into Indiegogo. And Indiegogo, they have a platform that's set up. Once you start raise some money, once you people involved and interested in the project, you know, and they start to donate money. Once you reach that point where you have a certain amount, they are actually clued up and hooked into in the film industry. From there on in,
they'll
be able to help you, move things forward. So whereas Kickstarter is, you can definitely come to them with insane ideas and whatever, and they'll let you do it. If you don't reach the amount that you're actually looking for, then don't get that money at all. I mean,
if you do Kickstarter and you don't reach your goal, then you don't get anything. Yeah.
If you were
Indiegogo, you get.
That's right. So no matter what there's not like a level. They don't actually set a level. So you try and raise whatever amount you can, and whatever you reach, you can set goals, and it will, but if you don't reach it, you'll certainly get to that money and be able to apply it to the project. And then maybe, say you raise a certain amount of money from there on in. I mean, I've been lucky. I've ran into a few producers, but, I've always come very close to getting this made, and other projects as well, with a producer I met in New York called Gary Robert Byrne. And we talked for a long time. We met in the post office one day, and he had a jacket on and had Universal Pictures on the back. And I looked at him and didn't say anything. And there was a woman in front of us, behind us, and I noticed that she had like a little pink slip. And you're from Brooklyn, right? You girls are from Brooklyn, so your little pink slip. So you can go around to the window and collect the package, right? If you got the pink slip, massive line. So like at least 25 people in front of us. So I said to her, I said, oh, you're in the wrong queue. Just nip ahead, go around the corner, and you'll be able to pick up your package. Packages out and letters and what have you. That's really sweet. That's really sweet of you. And he turned around to me and he said, so nice of you, to do that. Most people don't do anything like that anymore. And I said, I didn't want to see the poor woman stood there, waiting forever to just get to the window and then be like, I've waited half an hour. Now I've got to just go around the corner. That's how we started the conversation. And I said, I happen to notice you have a Universal Pictures jacket on. I said, you're in the industry? The guy's like, yeah, I'm a producer. And I said, he's worked in varying production, everything like Gangs of New York to Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he produced them.
Wow.
I mean, there's a lot. It's just like a lot of stuff. Brokeback Mountain he was involved in. And the TV movie with Pacino in All About Phil Spector. I think it's just called Spectre, but he's done quite a lot.
Yeah.
And so there was a time he had one of my scripts and he called me up from LA and he said, look, I got a time window, I'm rereading your work, I love it, see if we can get this off the ground. And it's a script I wrote called Visiting Graves, and everything kicked off. We were going for a few weeks, and then the phone call stopped, and he got a call from Lee Daniels, and Lee Daniels asked him if he would produce The Butler, and I helped work on The Butler in production. And of course he was like, what am I gonna do? I gotta go where the money is, right? And when you have no track record, then it's a lot harder. It's just one of those things, and you have to go do it. Like he says, I'm putting kids through college, so what am I gonna do? Pushing forward.
Seriously.
So your wife is coming to Nashville, and I think you should. There is really an indie film community here.
I heard.
Are you going to come with her?
Oh, I really... You know what? Things are changing, because we were just watching the news tonight, and after that terrible bombing in Brussels, go away. She was going to go away to Spain. And she's really nervous about flying, and I don't blame her crazy right now. You just don't know. It's like a crapshoot. It's easy for people to say, thing to do against terrorism is just do what you normally do every day and blah, blah, blah. And, not be wrong for be scared. And I agree. Okay, yeah, that would be the right thing to do. But at the end of the day, you know, you don't have to put yourself between a bullet and a target, right? Yeah, let's just go and be, you know what I mean? Why after, like, a bombing, you know, in her head, she's just very scared, nervous, and be the same. So, you know, I know she's thinking about visiting her. Definitely was going to visit a friend in Nashville, but who knows what's going to happen now. I think probably may well maintain that. And we've certainly been, you know, we're looking about, you know, we've been thinking for a while about getting out of New York. And, you know, the more we hear about Nashville and what's going on, and especially the independent film community there and how it's become such a huge hub, you know, it's attractive. It's attractive to me. I mean, you know, definitely. My wife's been in New York so much of her life. And, you know, the city one, you know, it is great. You know, on any given day, I can get up and, why am I here? And she's the same. It's just like, you wake up and be like, well, why am I here? And you're like, oh, that's why, you know. But, you know, as you get older and older, you just think, well, you know, I don't know if I want this grind anymore. You know, I want some kind of lifestyle, you know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Oh, is that an invitation?
Yes. Oh, yeah. You know,
oh, yeah?
Drive down.
Do you have a full
bed? We have a beautiful Airbnb where we live.
Oh.
And it's very affordable. Yeah, it's an Airbnb, and our neighbor owns it. So we'll totally come down together, and we will give you the
grand
royal tour.
Yeah. Grand tour. We cook
very
well.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I'm a chef. I don't know if I want to cook for you.
Yeah, you are a chef, but my grandmother, they're Italian.
You're Italian.
Taught us how to cook. Yeah. So I was supposed to have a cook-off. Have you ever heard of Arnold Mintz? He was on Top Chef. He's Asian. He's from
mm-hmm.
Israel. He owns. We used to be his personal assistant, and we used to cook with him.
He liked our cooking.
If you come here, you have to cook with us and teach us.
Oh my God! I've been cooking so long now. I've been in the kitchen since I was 14 years old. So I'm 46 now. And so, I mean, on and off, you know, but for the most part of my life, I predominantly worked in kitchens as a chef. So, you know, I can do anything from, you know, Italian foods, proper Italian food, I may add, you know what I'm saying? Like the real deal. to sushi, to German. Oh my God. I mean, it's like whatever. You want a Wiener Schnitzel? I can, we'll set out on a lasagna. No, I can do, I've been around.
We can get you a chef.
Oh my God, yes. We have a lot of connections. You said. You can, oh my God, I want you to come here because I love
on
the restaurants here. Restaurants that open up here, they're so fucking hipster, and they think that they're so so awesome. I'd love to get your opinion.
Yeah, me too. I would love to.
I'm a harsh critic.
I would love to hear, and I don't want to get your wife mad, but you're very handsome. Oh my God, those eyes. Have you ever done acting? You act in
films? Well, actually, ironically, the day we were going to shoot at the diner in New York, the guy who's meant to be the cook behind the counter, he had a couple of lines, and I said, look, man, are you good doing it? And he bottled out at the end of the day, and I'm like, oh, okay. And so at the end of the day, I'm like, who's going to do it? And just everybody looked at me. And I was like, oh, man, you kidding me? I put on a jacket. I can't escape. I can't escape, I tell you. And there I am. So I'm actually in the trailer behind the counter. I have so funny. I was also back in England. I was in I did a little acting in England. I mean, I'm talking this is minuscule. This is I had a line, but they cut it out. I was in TV series. A famous author from my neck of the woods in England, and she's from Newcastle, or was, obviously she's been dead a while now. Anyway, she wrote a whole bunch of famous books, and they adapt TV. One of the books they adapted was called The Cinder Path, and Catherine Zeta-Jones was in it when she was she was so young. I had no idea she was going to be uber famous and, married to Michael Douglas and all this nonsense. And sure enough, I ended up on the show through some weird connection. I met this guy from LA, and he read one of my scripts. We'd be on forever about it. And I ended up getting this tiny role where I was running around and climbing trenches, and I had like one line where all I had to shout was over the top, and you know, everyone follows me as we go over, guns blazing. The damn line out. I'm in it still. They cut it out. My moment of glory on a cutting room floor somewhere in England.
You know, I want to. There's an opening scene of the trip. Is that, there's like a scene, it's like, it looks like in a forest someplace. I'm like, is that in New York? Like, where in New York is that?
Pete, that, I'm sorry, I couldn't quite hear it.
Oh, okay. In the opening scene of the trailer, there's like a scene in a forest sitting by this green lake. I'm like, where in New York is that? Where did you film
it? You're not even going to believe that. I was looking for locations, and one day I got off the train at Central Park, and I went for a walk, and I was just walking around, and I ended up meandering through Central Park, and I found this tiny, these footsteps that wound down into this really, like, forested area, that just, there was one gap between these trees. Basically, it was the lake in Central Park, and all the trees were overhanging. So it just, I looked at it in terms of, you know, composition, and I was like, oh my God, we could just pull this off here. So, I mean, you can't shoot in Central Park. You have to do everything guerrilla style. I mean, we were thrown out of cemeteries. We were, you know, it was just crazy. It was a lot of fun, but a lot of hard work. That scene, Josh, who plays Vincent, that's actually in Central Park, tiny little place I found. I've definitely been guided. Crazy, right?
You were. Wow.
Yeah,
oh my
me
God.
Too. I was like,
amazing.
I'm so passionate. I just want to, you know, it's what I've always wanted to do, mm-hmm. you know, and where I'm from was that, you know, at a very young age you were working, you know, it wasn't like it was a lot of money or anything like that. So you'd start work when you were very young. And so establish myself in kitchens, you know, and all I was doing every, you know, night after work was watching movies, and I was obsessed with cinema. And, you know, talking to everybody at work about movies all the time while I was working as a chef. One day this guy at work, a sous chef I work with, called, he said, you know, Simon, he said, you know so much about movies. He said, one day you're going to be a filmmaker. And I'm like, maybe. And, you know, just jokingly. And about a month later, I started to look into it, and I tried to go to university. In England, it's like when you start school, you're kind of groomed in a certain direction. And if you want to go in that direction, portfolio. And, you know, you reach certain age where you have a portfolio of work to know what you're doing when you're young, you know what I mean? Where am I going? I don't know. I just want to go around and, you know, have fun with my mates and Nanny asking me, what are a handful of choices? Which direction do you want to go in? So I'm just like, what? I don't know what you're even talking about. I don't want to be a player. What are you on about? You know, so you have to make a decision, and it was, you know, that wasn't even on the table. I did like a little bit of green stuff at school. My mother knew somebody at a hotel, and she was like, look, do you want to go wash dishes? And I'm like, okay, sure. So I go, I start washing dishes. Eventually, I don't want to wash dishes. What's this guy doing over here? Can you show me how to do this? And but next thing I know, I'm a certain age. Maybe, you know, maybe I could be a filmmaker. Maybe I could write, because I was watching a lot of movies and thinking, I can have it in me, you know? And, and by the time I tried to go to university, you know, they said, well, where's your portfolio? And so I don't have one. I've been working in kitchens for years and years, and this is what I'm good at, and this is what I know, but I really like a shot at this. And they're like, oh, if you don't have a portfolio, you can't get in the door. And I remember saying to the guy, you know, I can't remember whoever it is, but, you know, the intake person, I said, what makes you think that person over there, portfolio of work, better movie than I'm going to make just because I don't have one? How do you not know that I'm not going to be able to, like, you know, make a movie way better than him? You know, that I, you know, that my imagination or things that have occurred, you know, in my life that, you know, are not going to feed into my imagination, feed into my, you know, writing, and allow me to create something that's just as good. And he didn't really have an answer. And then, you know, I remember just being very angry, walking away and just being, you know, and sort of almost in many ways thinking to myself, all right, well, this is, you know, I was young too. It's like, you know, you're young, and you just, sometimes you think a door slams and it's closed forever, you know? It's just sometimes the way it is when you're younger. Right? And I was always taught that do it well, stay and do that till you're like, retire, you know? And it's not the way of the world when you're creative, because ultimately all of these surface, and, you know, my ideas, I wake up in the night, I have an idea, dream, I write it down. And over the years, I've built stuff up that I finished not long ago. The main idea for the script came from a dream I had maybe 20 years ago, and I wrote down on a tiny piece of paper, and I always wondered, when am I going to use that? When am I going to use it? As I was writing this other script, it was there, jigsaw that I'm missing. Crazy. It's so weird. Yeah. Wow. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Oh my God. You're so inspiring. You are so inspiring. Like, we have to meet.
I know.
You're inspiring us.
I think if something burns inside you, passionate about it, I've been through a lot of stuff in my life as well. I got in my own way a lot. And once I dealt with that, the way, then my life changed a great deal as well. I could focus a lot more. I could see that, you know, these things were possible. It wasn't just sort of, oh, well, I'm just dreaming it. It'll never happen. You know, I really started to put things in place. And, you know, my wife's helped me out so much as well. There have been times where so it's been like team effort. And everybody involved in the trailer had to take any money for it, you know. It was all money I pulled together and pumped into it. And they knew when we worked together, you know, it was like, this was a labor of love. And, you know, if you guys want to do it, I just want you involved if you love the script. And that's all there is to it. If you love the work, please, you know, let's put in 100%. Do what we can when we can. If you can't give 100%, you know, and a few people couldn't, you know, it's the way, it's the nature of the beast. Parted ways, and but at the end of the day, you do whatever you can. On the day, you know, there were some really crazy moments where I had a whole setup in a church. The whole church setup was just saying, it was like one. We started at 4 a.m. didn't finish till poof. And I mean, I was just riding on coffee and donuts, and someone got me a sandwich, and it was just like anything that could go wrong went wrong, and we just thinking on my feet the whole day. And I mean, you know, it was just like scrambling, running around. And at the end of the day, you know, I was with the cameraman. I was with the cameraman, Gabriel, like 8 o'clock. I just wanted to just keep going. Let's just get what we can. You know, we're like absolutely like tired and like wired off our faces on coffee. Come on, we can do it. The last shot. And it was wild. It's weird as well.
That's what makes it all worth it. Scrambling and craziness.
Oh my God. I mean, that's the fun as well. You know, I mean, a lot of the movies that I love and the filmmakers I love, you know, all come place of, you know, not having a lot of money and just being very, very passionate and best way they can, you know? And it makes for me a more interesting film, if you ask my, if you, personally, mm-hmm. you can watch a filmmaker when they start out and they're interesting because you see their struggle and you see it in the movies, you see it in the films they make. And then they reach a point where they have the fame, they have the money, they have the house in Malibu. And you know, it doesn't take as much as
they have no more ideas. They have no more ideas after that. And sometimes they just like fall into the world of money and they get less creative sometimes. Not in every case.
No, not at all. But I'm just saying you do see it happen and you see it happen a lot. And I think a lot of, I'm not really a big fan of modern cinema that much, to be honest with you. You know, most of the stuff I love was made quite a long time ago. So, and, the things that influenced me when I was young and growing up, everything influences you. That's the way I look at it. Everything. Even if you see a movie and look at it and just, wow, that was so good to this point, and then you did this, and it's like, why would you do that? You know, you dropped a ball or a plot hole or there's something that doesn't work, and you try and you're like, whoa. You know, so all of these things, people who influence me that I love, I try to avoid applying their, you know, like, let me put it this way, you know, you watch the, like, you, if you're a musician, you listen to music, and there's something that took you to that place where you want to be a musician and you want to play, pick up a guitar or a keyboard or whatever. You know, there's those bands that take you there. And then you find your own style, your own beat, your own rhythm, right? And then it takes a little time, and that's what it's like writing. Like, initially from the get-go, you know, I loved writing. I overwrote, badly formatted. You know, it's been a journey, and that's what I love. You know, but eventually I found my own voice. And I found my own style, and I'm very, very comfortable with it. It took quite a while to reach that. So people who influence you initially, you know, they influence you to a point, but then you see it in some filmmakers, things that I just don't enjoy at all, which are plagiarism in places, and like literally lifting some scenes from other movies. Crazy, seriously.
Yeah,
I mean, do you know what I mean? It takes you out, because if you know a little bit about cinema, or you know about music, or you know culture in general, you're looking at that, you know where it's from, of the movie experience. Do you know what I mean? It's like a movie should be immersive in there, and traveling, following them, their journey, feeling what they're thinking, like what's going on here, what is this about, what does this mean, and then as the pieces come together. I mean, certainly, you know, not everything I write is the unseen, but I definitely, as I write, you know, every script has feeling in there. There's something metaphysical going on. There's something other than just drama or a basic thriller or, you know, period piece, which I've written a couple of period pieces. So there's always that thing else going on. And that's me. Probably a lot of that childhood thing I was talking about, you know, that emanates through that. There's something it's not just there are other worlds, you know, in cinema in itself. Yeah. When you're sat in the cinema, you're in a seat in the cinema with all of these other people looking at a screen, and there's another world on the screen. You know, you're all transported together at the same time into something else again. It's like it's these layers, and that describes my writing, really. It's like layers and layers. The first time you watch it or read it, you might not see it all, but the next time you do that, and the next time you watch it or read it, catch something else, you know? It's not what I try and do. It's just what happens when I write. When am I coming to Nashville, job? I'm coming tomorrow.
Anytime. I want to see you get this also made.
Please.
I want to help you in any way.
Listen, any way that we can help you, we would love to help you get this made.
My God.
Because it's awesome. It's amazing.
The trailer is amazing. I want to put it on
just
my Facebook.
I mean, that just the single and the trailer is like, oh my God. It's like, I want to see what happens. What the hell?
I
want
to know what's going on.
Done. Only let whatever fucking do it and come to Nashville ASAP. People
okay.
will love you.
All right, I'm gonna figure out how to get there, and I'm gonna get there. Okay, I know there's something there because at the end of the day, and all these weird signs have been happening around me, and that I pay attention to that. You know what I mean? When I see the signs, I know something's going on in the universe. The universe trying to point me in a direction, and maybe the universe is going Nashville. Go to Nashville.
Maybe it is.
Even if it isn't, I'm going to come because I have an invitation now.
You have an invitation. You know people here. And we thank you so much for thank you so much for letting us interview you because we love your trailer and we want to see your movie. Thank you so much.
Thank you both as well. I really, really appreciate it. And it just, it means a lot to me. It's like, you know, it's so weird when, you know, things come out of nowhere and call and how things happen is amazing. It's like, it's very serendipitous, you know, and that I listen to that and I pay attention to that. And it's just like been honestly just like a real pleasure talking to the both of you. And look, I have your information now and you have my phone number, drop you an email.
Yeah.
Stay in touch, and you know, oh my God, I mean, just anyone who's behind me on this, you know, it blows me away when people come out of the woodwork and watch it, you know, and there are a lot of people who get it, you know. I have hope, and I think there's a good chance that it may happen, and I would love it to happen in Nashville, that's for sure.
And don't ever give up, because don't ever give up your dream, because you're gonna
I
know it.
I promise
you.
I won't, okay?
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Absolutely.
Yes, and keep us posted.
Oh, thank you.
Have a lovely evening. Thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you. I really appreciate it, honestly. And yet, I won't give up because it's like, I know it's what I'm meant to be doing, okay? So I'm going to get out there, okay? I'm going to go speak to my wife now and see what we can do, okay? All right?
Yay! Thank you
Yay.
So much. Love you. Love you.
Love you too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. He was awesome. Oh, my God.
I was dying to know. I'm going to put the trailer on my Facebook. I was dying to know where the inspiration of that came from.
Oh, my God. No, you know
what?
I had that feeling.
Did you? It has to be. When somebody like, writes stuff about, like, you know.
When I saw his picture, I was like, oh, my God. This guy is, like, he's inspiring. I know he's married.
Come down,
No, but I'm just saying, like.
No, I know.
He might have been my.
Oh my God, I know he's
so inspiring. He's inspiring.
He's very inspiring.
Elton sang. Inspiring is that me and Wavy are having Easter dinner
at our house.
Woo!
At our mom's house. dad have been divorced.
My mom is cooking with the turkey, and my dad is coming. But I also just invited Shara. What time should we call Shara? What time?
Oh, yeah.
3?
Well, I got to go to church.
3 o'clock.
You know how I always like to announce that I'm going to church.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
I just told Josh. Okay. We have a downstairs neighbor who's out.
Ooh.
Joshua Jones.
Oh, maybe he doesn't want you to say his name.
I don't give a shit. He's a sexy motherfucker.
Yeah, he won't get
He doesn't back. Like women. I've offered, but he doesn't
he
want
He doesn't want
But anyway, I just texted Josh, and I was like, can you come upstairs? And there's Sean. He's like,
he's not into that.
He's such a baby. So I said, just come upstairs and just listen. But he doesn't believe me. He thinks if I make him come upstairs that he will talk.
Oh, yeah.
But I won't.
Don't just.
Okay. Well, I have to pee really
bad. So what we're going to
do. What are we doing now?
We are
We're back Wednesday.
No, I have to pee.
Yeah, but let's start it off.
Sure. Okay, you start it. I'm going to pee.
Yay!
Anyway,
I love Simon, too. I'm going to play my Way Back Wednesday song, which is from Simon LeBon.
Oh, my God!
From Duran Duran. this song came out called Wild Boys.
Wild Boys.
Now, I was very young. I can't tell you how young. Just figure it out on your own. But I used to love this song. There was something about that I used to jam out in my room as a kid. But here it is.
Wild Boys.
Wild Boys! Wild Boys!
Do like new waves?
For some reason, Duran Duran is considered.
I never thought Duran Duran is that, but my way back was a new wave. Coco, Yazzy. Does anybody remember Yazzy? Yeah, like their like popular one was what was their popular one? Would you say?
All I needed was a love you gave.
All I needed for another day. All I ever knew, only you. But this is like a not so, this is not like a mainstream one.
No.
I used to love this. This is called In My Room. And let's listen to that.
Our father. Who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name.
I stand alone and watch the clock. I only wait for it to stop.
What are you? be done.
In my room.
In my room. Oh, somebody.
Oh, you don't like it.
Somebody's drunk texting.
I'm not drunk texting.
Oh,
she be TFC
texting. I'm not tipsy.
Speaking of tipsy texting.
What are you going to do, texting?
I think we should get a little
sex. Well, we should, I was trying to get somebody, a guy. Well, the thing is this, since
you
Steve.
Steve, you stink. You
no.
haven't helped me.
Okay, first of all, it was not. I was trying to find a guy to get his opinion because Steve has dropped the bizzle.
Steve, you dropped the ball on the sex attack.
Like,
I mean, we need a guy's opinion. Two girls.
We can't just do two girls.
No. What the fuck's going on, Stevie Boom? Now, sex attack. We're going to get into it.
Okay, we don't have a guy's opinion.
You're turned on or taken back. You're unsure. Do you have a sex attack? Sex attack. You read it once, you read it twice. Is it naughty? Is it nice? Sex attack. Sex attack. Cause it's so hard to read. Do they wanna bang or meet for coffee? Either way, we're gonna find out for you. Find out for you. We're gonna find out for you. She said she was thinking of me in the shower. Is it a sex or text? Is it a sex or text?
No, sex or text. Coco is now sex.
I'm not sexing. I don't know what you're saying.
Okay, so
let's hear it. Every week people write in to us and they ask us, what's your text, Coco? And what's your name, Wee Wee?
Did you just throw up in your mouth?
I burped.
That's disgusting.
I burped. I'm sorry. Anyway, Coco or Wee Wee. If you want to email either one, my thatweewee@gmail.com. Coco's is cocowarbuck@gmail.com. If you have any questions, not only sex or text, maybe you're having a relationship problem, whatever it may be, let us know. Anyway, our first sex or text is Nikki, and she's from Queens. How common is that?
Nikki from Queens.
But anyway, she emailed us, and she said her friend from calculus texted her and said, 6 and 9 should be in every equation. Wink, wink.
Oh, my God.
Corny!
Wait a minute.
Nikki said
somebody texted her and said, "Oh, the person from calculus."
Oh, they texted her.
6 and 9 should be in every equation. Wink, wink.
Yeah, that's a sex.
Of course.
But she doesn't know, is it a guy or a girl? Like,
she didn't say. But what does it matter? Maybe she's a woman.
Okay. It doesn't matter. Okay.
Maybe she's into both.
Who cares?
So we both agree. Sex.
Sex.
It has a fact. Okay, Jim from Louisville.
I say Louisville.
She says Louisville.
Sorry, Louisville.
All my ex goes Louisville.
Sorry, it's Louisville.
Louisville.
But I'm northern. Okay, his sister's friend texted him and said, do you think that you're a good kisser?
Sex
or text?
Wait, say this again.
Pay attention, Coco, and stop sexing.
No, I'm not trying to guy. I'm trying to get a guy right now.
His sister's friend, you're a good kisser.
Okay, well, I got a guy that says we can call him right now.
Oh!
So let's call him. How do we do that?
Let's call him. What's his number?
Call the guy. 530.
Shh, say it out loud.
Oh, whoops. Where is it?
Okay.
And then we don't want to give the person's phone number.
Right.
566666677.
Just like in the movie.
Okay.
555.
So we should go.
Let's start again.
Let's just start from the other one.
Hello?
Hello, anonymous caller. We're live on the air with
All right.
Caller, we have a sex
Can you hear us? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
We have a segment called where we try, people write into us that have been given, and they don't know if they're sexual innuendos or just a regular text.
Yeah.
So we're going to ask your opinion. We need a dude right now.
Yes.
We don't have a dude. So we're going to read you this, and you tell us, is this a sex or a regular, just regular text, okay?
So here, take
who's
it away,
sending
Sue.
The text?
Okay, so we have
guy
Jim.
Or girl.
Tell,
okay.
Set it up.
Jim sending the text?
Who is he doesn't, okay, Wee-Wee doesn't know who we're talking to. Let's keep it private. Wee-Wee doesn't know. I only know who our dude is. And
okay.
Wee-Wee is curious.
Anyway, there's a guy Jim, right? A girl texted him, friend, and she said, do you think you're a good kisser? Now, do you think sex or text?
His sister's friend texted and said,
yeah.
Think that you're a good kisser.
Yeah. Is she flirting with him, or does she want to get in his pants, or what?
I don't know why else you would ask someone if they're a good kisser. It's not something I typically ask, like,
okay.
My best friend's wife or my grandmother. I can see myself asking my grandma, hey, Granny, are you a good kisser? Or anyone I work with? It sounds like a sex.
Basically, Jim is oblivious, and the girl is flirting with you, Jim.
Read him the first one.
Okay, no, we have another one, okay? This girl, her name is Ava, and she's from Colorado. And a guy she recently started dating at 2 a.m. and asked her what she was wearing. Is this a sex or is it
absolutely.
A
text? I'm pretty sure that any text message after 11 p.m., I don't care what you ask.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just leading
that's
up
right.
to it. There ain't nothing out this time of night but the devil.
Ever.
With words or pictures?
Either one.
Absolutely. Only one with
oh.
a picture, but it was to my girlfriend. She drew faces on it, put a cigar and crown and stuff, and sent it back to me and laughed.
You sent her a picture.
So that was the last.
Entice her?
Am I allowed to say dick pic on the radio?
You can say dick pic. You can say anything you want.
Yeah.
So you thought
yeah.
it was like.
Sending her a reminder of what I got going on. And,
she
made a joke out of the situation. It's like got out her coloring book and got on one of those apps and literally had like a crown and sunglasses and a cigar and sent it back. I think I maybe a tie as well, bow tie. Sexy, of course.
I like it.
We've
it.
We've all been guilty.
What kind of question is that?
Thank you for playing the game. But also,
you know me. You know me. You know I'm sexy before. Aren't we neighbors?
I know who this... Well, Wee-Wee doesn't know. I did not tell Wee-Wee who you are. I don't know if you want us to...
No, I know who it is now.
...conceal your identity. But we were going to talk about... Okay, what is your caller? What is your take on... Have you ever been to Coco's Italian Market here in Nashville?
Coco's Italian Market?
Someone asked us to talk about
that. Is that a sex?
Yeah.
That sounds like a sex. Goes Italian market.
It could be.
What's she serving up?
Start using.
Is it hot and warm? Juicy?
There are a lot of sauce in that.
Cheese or sauce?
Do you say cheese?
Oh,
I don't know about that.
We went to the Rihanna. Are you a Rihanna fan?
You know, I'm really bad with pop culture. I could name you. If I've heard it, yeah. But I'm not the guy that's like, oh yeah, that song. That's...
You don't. Okay. Because Wee-Wee and I went to the Rihanna concert on Friday, and it
mm-hmm.
was really good.
Yeah, I heard.
Amazing.
I heard it was
really good. So, do you have anything that you want to say? Anything you want to say before we move on to our next call or anything?
Any closing thoughts?
Say anything you want. Anything. You can curse, fucking anything.
Time to. Spring clean out your old stuff, put your winter clothes away,
yeah.
and you know, get out your summer clothes, maybe clean out under the bed and get the cobwebs out. And if you're looking for some decor, that'll make me some money.
Yeah.
I'll get a little promo in there.
Well, oh my God,
you have to.
We talked about Walls Need Love last week out there.
Okay.
Walls Need Love. Fucking,
mm-hmm.
You don't even understand, like the imagination behind it,
mm-hmm.
the imagination, the design. You don't even understand what you can create with Walls Need Love. You need to go to wallsneedlove.com.
Go now.
And check
yeah.
it out. My whole apartment, Walls Need Love. Because
yeah.
I have a very generous, you know him, but he's very generous, and he let me take many items from Walls Need Love and put them
yeah.
in my apartment. When people come over, they're fuck dying. They're like that. And I'm like,
right.
Walls Need Love,
can,
bitch.
Can we agree that if you do have a significant other come over, there's a good chance that to where you want to be, if your walls have a little love on it. You know, lovely walls
yeah.
bring a little love to the bedroom.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
sure.
Everyone likes to feel good. And we recently added
love,
all easy. Kinds of cool stuff, too, man. We're doing home furnishings. You got pillows. It's not just for your walls anymore. It's for your bed, your couch, all that. Wherever you want to make some love. Yeah,
what
if you want to make some love and
yeah.
give a shower some love. Yeah, all that. Well, anyways, check it out.
Yeah.
You know,
give yourself some love.
Yeah, exactly.
Check it out, guys.
Well, good talking
to
you guys.
Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
You too. Thank you. Much love.
You too. Bye-bye.
See you later, bubba.
Bubba.
Italian market. That should be your new set.
No, but the thing is, walls need love.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
Is my new set.
Seriously?
Oh, my God.
Thank you to Walls Need Love because
you don't even understand what Walls Need Love can do for you. Like, you can wallpaper, right? You don't have to get the fucking stupid
blue and the
blue
shit.
And the shit. These come. I can't.
It's like a peel
it's
off.
It's a peel off.
And but you can
reuse
take
it.
You can reuse
that's
it.
That's the amazing
There's
part.
There's artwork that
you
can put on your
totally
wall
reuse
instead
it.
Of nailing a hammer and a nail and ruining your wall.
Oh, my God. And or whatever the paste that you're supposed to do with wallpaper.
This is not ruining your wall. You could take it with you when you move.
And
the most amazing design. Thank you to All Me Love because I'm moving in with my
and we yep. got so much awesome stuff to decorate our house.
Oh my God.
But not only that, like seriously, the person behind All Me Love. I don't
it's
know.
It's a great idea.
I don't know if he wants his name.
No,
mentioned.
Just his name. We could just say the
but
owner of
I,
Walls Need
the
Love.
owner of Walls Need Love, which you can look up in Nashville. Definitely an idol of mine as well because he's an entrepreneur
mm-hmm.
that makes things happen.
Yeah.
And I've watched I've fought with him. He's my neighbor. Probably been very pissed off by me. I've worked for him. Such an awesome guy because you know what? He fucking makes things happen.
He does make things happen.
And he does what the fuck he wants.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at, Wee-Wee?
What the fuck you left?
Sometimes when you get old, and I find this is the point of when you know you've reached old.
I think I'm gonna prank my mother.
You see memes and they make you hysterically
I'm
laugh.
I'm prank Bay
I've
right
seen,
now.
I've seen. I'm no, you know, you're calling from your phone. You get a call from the freaking.
I mean, you
number.
Call Bay.
Girl, you're cut off.
Of what?
I am not come off. Cut. I am not
coming no more.
I'm on my brother, I'm on the cookie, love me.
Wee wee. Immediately more.
This is really funny.
Wait, what are you doing?
There's a meme. It says, me hiding away from your bullshit. Toodaloo, motherfuckers. And it's like, a little dog.
No, that's not even funny. That is not even funny.
I'm on a cold
you just,
break.
Do you know what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm on a cold break.
What are you going to say to him?
I don't know.
We got one more segment. We got to be off, girl.
What kind
and
of
we got to do our wrap up. You can't be calling people.
Yeah, I'm cold break.
I'll call you can.
Okay.
She says no.
No, look, Bay has to get on and do work.
We have 20 minutes.
Bay, we love you to death. We really appreciate and love you for all of your kindness.
We have 20 minutes.
We appreciate Nick as well. We appreciate all of our Totally Driven.
Oh, my God.
Family. Anyway, we got to wrap it up. Seriously.
Look, 20 minutes.
Yeah, but we got to get off.
Anyway.
But I think it would be funny if we called him and not have him say something.
Okay,
no,
one thing.
What?
Because we love Bay.
Bay, we've never done a nighttime show.
No, we haven't, but you're tipsy.
Where? So are you.
I'm not as tipsy as you are. I had one drink.
You had two.
I'm in love with Jeff Cook.
Listen,
I had one and a half drinks. Calm down.
I'm not even.
Okay, we're calling Bay Ragney, who's like our boss.
Oh,
Totally Driven. Bay is the CEO of Totally Driven, and his show is coming. Bay's show is coming on.
I know.
And I'm close to answering.
Oh, he doesn't answer.
Bay. 1, 2, 3. Bay, I hope you're listening.
Cancel.
Oh, no.
Because we gotta wrap up. He's probably in.
Okay, did you hang up?
Hey,
Bay, we love you.
Okay,
now,
anyway. So we got a one
listen,
last segment.
I just wanna say something.
Oh my God.
I'm not gonna say that. I love my sister.
I love you too.
So much. If it was not for my sister, I probably would be dead.
Oh, stop it.
My sister's my inspiration. Beautiful. She's
holy.
And by the way, I was gonna say Coco and I.
She's talking about
herself. I'm Coco.
Yeah,
I am
are.
Coco.
Yeah.
No, Wee-Wee and Coco are comedy shows.
And Amy's on Tuesday.
Girl on Girl Comedy and
March 29th.
Tuesday.
March 29th at Zany.
7:30.
If you want that
Coco and the week,
go make it you a lappy poop poop.
Wherever
okay.
you are, drive down.
Anywho,
ow.
The last segment is going to be New Yorkers in Nashville, okay? Because
oh,
we
yeah.
always do it. Our mother wouldn't stop complaining, couldn't find the S cookies. Got no fucking S cookies. See the cookies, St. Joseph's, St. Joseph's, she is down nothing. Anyway,
Bay wants to know if we're okay because he probably thinks we're having a problem.
Why is he there?
Because you're calling him. Anyway, we decided to go to Coco's Italian Market, located at 411 15th Avenue North, which is amazing. They have cookies, they have S cookies, they have everything. Schwiedel, cannoli.
I love that word.
Schwiedel. I'm
going to
name my first one. That's what I'm going to name my first one, Schwiedel.
Schwiedel.
Anyway, they got bocce ball. They got bocce ball you can play. But they have brunch Saturdays and Sundays at 9 a.m. The girl said it's amazing. And they have happy hour, which I just found out, which I'm very excited about. They have happy hour Monday through Friday. They got $1 off appetizers, $3 draft. They got $1 off espresso and dessert. They got $4 wine. Okay?
Oh, my God. Wait. Now, are the $4 wines just...
Every day, Monday through Friday.
Wait. The happy hour? Or is
just
it...
the happy hour. But
that
also,
would be good, too, though.
So, they have Tuesdays, pint and pie night. They have
pints and pie night.
Dollar draft with any pizza.
Magician.
Oh. Coco.
The magician.
Coco knows the magician very well. But anyway, yeah. So try Coco's if you're in Nashville. If you live here. If you're visiting. Whatever you want to do. Just do it. Do it, baby. Do it. Do it, baby. Do it. Anyway.
Oh, my God. We're done?
Dunzo.
I don't want to be dunzo.
We have to. Stop it.
We have 20 minutes.
Stop. Somebody else is coming on. She's so disrespectful.
I am not.
Anyway, the Coco and Wee Wee Show is a part of the Totally Driven Entertainment Network.
Totally Driven Entertainment
Network.
Radio Network.
A multimedia platform dedicated to bringing you total entertainment. And check us out on the web at totallydrivenentertainment.com for a complete list
of
upcoming shows, entertaining vlogs and videos. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and all social media platforms.
You know what it is? What? There's a lot of new shows.
There's a lot of new shows coming
on. There's a lot of, I mean, Totally Driven, there's a lot of shows that are coming on, and it's just so exciting. I can't believe
we're part
of it.
We're part of a wonderful, wonderful family. Everybody's very welcoming and talented and funny.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to play you the lineup. So you
We got a lineup.
Did you know that Totally Driven Entertainment has tons of different podcasts? As a matter of fact, we have podcasts on every day of the week with topics ranging from politics all the way to pro wrestling and total entertainment. On Monday nights, you have two amazing shows. At 6 p.m., you have Hard Talk with Big Daddy and Big Booty Trudy. And at 11 p.m., we have the new show, 8 Flights Up. So you guys definitely going to want to check out those two. On Tuesday at noon, we have Pro Wrestling Now with Mike Ferreira, where Mike gives us a rundown of everything in the world of professional wrestling this week. Moving into midweek, we have three shows that are totally different and totally driven. At 9:30 a.m. on Wednesday, Hump Day, we have the Coco and Wee Wee Show. That brings us to Thursday. Thank God it's Thursday, because at 5 p.m., we have Pro Wrestling Now with Mike Ferreira, where he wraps up the end of the week and talks a little bit about SmackDown, NXT, and some Japanese wrestling. Thursday night at 8 p.m., the show that started it all, Totally Driven Radio, with your hosts, Bay Ragney and Nick Wilkinson. This show has a little bit for everyone. There's celebrity gossip, interviews, Hollywood reporters, Dancing with the Stars moments, metal, mayhem, and moondog. Friday nights at 8 p.m., Uncle Shawnee's Playground is guaranteed to make somebody mad and somebody cry. At 10 p.m. on Friday night, we have the LAW Retro Wrestling Hour, where we talk all about the golden age of wrestling and what it was like back then to see amazing men do amazing things. Hey, and some of our best programming is on the weekends. On Saturday at 11 a.m., you can listen to the Mojo Sports Show and talk all about sports with Mr. Mojo. At 9 p.m. that night, Bay Ragney does Totally Driven Radio Rock, where he features a different kind of music, different songs, different eras, just whatever's on his mind that week when it comes to music. Sunday Funday at 10 a.m., start your weekend off with a big weenie. The Big Weenie Castanini Show is on every week, and it's sure to please. And end the week with the Nerd Herd at 9 p.m. on Sunday nights. You can join the TV Nation, and you can talk all about the latest in TV, comics, and comic book movies. Bay's going to tell you what he's been watching. We're going to talk about our Men in Tights. And finally, we're going to do our top five list each and every week. It's a different list. Hey, and if you're not busy listening to your new favorite podcast, check out some of our social media pages. You can find us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Periscope, and more. Totally Driven Radio. Get driven. Stay driven.
Somebody help me from the
okay.
Okay. We got about 10 more minutes left.
Okay, but I'm going to call a really good friend right now.
Yeah, because he has this funny story.
And he said
he know I only have 10 minutes?
Yeah, I told him.
So not, oh, let's see the number.
Don't say it out loud.
Say the number out loud.
He still got an answer.
You don't give it away. Don't you give it away now. Is that a one? This girl's phone
is one.
Crazy. Who can see with this cracked GB
phone? I don't know why I have to be ridiculed because I'm having fun.
Coco had to.
No, did not. I feel good. Hello?
Hello?
This is Coco and Weenie. You're live with Coco
and Weenie.
What's up there?
I'm live in full effect. Is this real? Is this finally happening?
Yes, you are.
Wonderful.
Can you tell everyone who you are?
Andrew Wyatt. And, you know, there's many titles. Too many. I only got 10 minutes, so I don't have enough time to go through all my aliases, KAs, et cetera, et cetera. But I got a funny story. Got a funny story for you guys today.
Yeah, we're ready.
Is there like a mic tone? Like, can you all hear me okay?
We can hear you perfectly, loud and clear.
All right, check us out, Brits and Bells. Here's what I got for you.
Are you eating?
Right, I'm chewing.
Are you eating?
I'm chewing the cheesesteak.
What are you eating?
Check it out. Philly cheesesteak.
Okay.
Check it out. I'm done.
Okay.
So
are
I get home.
Philly? Are you in?
Am I in?
Yeah.
Can you all hear me?
Yes. Yeah, you can hear you. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I think he's chewing too loud.
We can hear you. All right.
So here's what I want to get off my chest. You ready? Come home, shittiest gym in Lexington, Kentucky. Place where gains go. I mean, you know, I'm a bro. I like to work out to, you know, try and stay fit or whatever. I'm not one of these, you know, huge muscle, you know, guys or whatever. But, you know, I got a little something-something, right? I've been working on it all year. Bad enough that I go to this really shitty gym. And, you know, hats off to them because they got this pitch. They have Mondays and days and, you know, they get a lot of people in really exercise. So, like, I'm like, people who are actually in shape there, kind of shunned upon. It's a little bit of a weird feeling. Deal with all that. I get home. All I want to do is eat. You know, it's 9 o'clock here, Eastern Standard Time. I just want to and then just relax, chill out here with my roommate. Okay? So I'm looking in the fridge, and, you know, I've got, you know, some brown rice that I've made. I'm trying to eat healthy. You know, I've got a couple, like, you know, man meals, my go-to stuff, right? Because it's all me in my life. Karma. Pull open the freezer. Now, I go to the Kroger over here off of New Circle Road in Lexington. And I went out on a limb this time. I was thinking, you know what? Meal, quick, something go-to, something easy. Pull out section, and there's a Philly cheesesteak. Okay, I'm thinking, you know what? I'm not really big on frozen Philly cheesesteaks. You know, I like them civil or, you know, a ballpark or, you know, maybe sometimes if I'm feeling really ambitious, a restaurant. Pull out this cheese, put it in the bag, go back home. So today I pull it out, open the fucking, there's no cheese. No cheese on my cheese stick. I was so fucking pissed. I start screaming, yelling, where's the fucking cheese? This is a Philly cheese stick. This is an outrage. I'm going to call Ray Burns right now. I had shredded cheddar cheese. I was able to makeshift very terrible Philly cheese stick. They're out of hour. They're within their business hours right now. So, you know, come 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, wherever Ray Burns or whatever off-brand Philly cheese stick I bought, they're going to hear from me. They're going to hear. And it's not going to be pretty, my friend. It is not going to be pretty. It's on. Is that 10 minutes?
Are you eating now? Oh,
no, I literally stopped. There's like a fourth of it left. I literally stopped once I got Maria over here. I was just like, you know what? I got something. Time I was having trouble. You know, what the hell am I going to add to this? What am I going to talk about? You know, I mean, so many things going on in my mind, but it's just like, go it.
Is that even a word? Man, I'm nervous.
Coco and Weenie show. Jesus Christ. Anyways, how you guys doing? Good?
I'm not eating cheese at the moment, so I'm like, you're better off without it. Wait, who is that guy that you said that was a good,
Count Basie,
he's awesome.
Count Basie, Nashville, mate, check it out. Good dude. I think he went to like Middle Tennessee State, representing Murfreesboro. So Blue Raiders in the house. Second round of the NCAA tournament. Yeah. Count Basie. I can't remember where it's at. I follow him on Facebook. Definitely go check it out. May 25th. A little ways away, but good show. Might be coming back down there to grace you all with my presence down in Middle Tennessee. Who do y'all got on the show this week? Am I the only guest? Surely the God guest is probably better.
No, oh. You're a good guest. I like your cheesecake.
good. It really pissed me off. And it was just like perfect timing. Like when I got your text message, I was like, oh my God, this is my entrance. Like, I don't know. This is like a sign from the heavens. Like, it's just perfect. It's right up your all's alley. I've heard one or two podcasts before, and I was just like, holy shit, we got to get this. So there you go.
All right, awesome. Will you come back on again and, like, inspire some people?
Yeah.
Talk about some shit? I can't believe the app. What is that all about?
What?
Bagels and
what?
Pizza. I can't believe they're offering bagels and pizza at Planet Fitness. The hell is that?
Oh, yeah. Bagels and pizza at Planet Fitness. Like, it was really, like, I looked at my roommate when we moved in 2 weeks ago. Guy I work, you know, whatever. The whole point was to get out of, you know, the small town that I was, you know, living in, you know, back with mom for a year or whatever, saving money and all this shit. But, like, finally, I get back up here and, you know, doing good. And we're like, okay. There's a gym, like, right down the road. Which gym is it? Like, fuck. Planet. Here we go. So we're like, all right, well, escalating and getting on Google Maps, and we're like, okay, this gym that's like 20 minutes, 30 minutes away from work, but with traffic at rush hour, it's probably going to be like, you know, a 35-minute drive, and like, man, who wants to go, you know, wait 35 minutes in the car before, you know, getting ready to go to the gym after a long day at work? And I mean, trust me, where we work, that shit is long. So it's just like all these alternate plans to be like, okay, let's check out this one. Let's check out that one. And I think it just happened like we took a pre-workout stuff, which for those of you who don't know or whatever, like, you know, that's the stuff that a lot of guys take. It's all legal. Performance enhancing drugs. You can buy it at GNC, figure out what a proprietary blend is. The sugar in it basically just tastes like a really, really like sugary ass Kool-Aid. We take all this stuff and then we're just like, go in there and we have a great workout. So we're like, oh, that's $20 a month. You get all the tanning. All the, you know, massage beds. I did, by the way, go, like, sit on that water massage bed. Like, oh, my God. I hate relationships. I love the luxury, but I hate actually fucking working out there because, like, piss away. You guys ever have that problem? I don't know. What about the gym you guys go to in Nashville?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah?
At the Green Hill.
YMCA?
Green Hill? Yeah. Totally. My favorite. Have you been there?
Have you
been to the Green Hills Y?
No.
You don't like it?
No. I heard, like, when I lived in Nashville, I lived in Bellevue. They had one out there, but I never really checked it out because I just heard it was a bunch of old people. So, you know what I mean? Like, in Nashville, I went to Gold. That place was shit. And then, like, you know, back in, like, you know, when I was in Danville this past year back up here in Kentucky, I was working out at a college gym. So all these kids, and, like, they were all in shape because all they had to do, keg stands on the weekends, make decent grades and lift weights. That's all they do. And then, like, you know, I come up here and, you know, now I'm working out with people who could seriously consider gastric bypass if they could afford it. So it's a fucking disaster.
They're eating a slice of pizza
on the treadmill. Yeah. It was probably, like, have you ever seen those stupid, like, those gym videos, like these epic fails, or like these people just doing, like, could literally make, like, a whole YouTube channel. If somebody hasn't already done it yet, $1 million business idea that I will give you, but, like, you could have, like, you know, like, gym fails of Planet Fitness, and you could seriously just go in there hour and find something absolutely hilarious. And you know what, like, I don't want to be a dick, because, like, these people, you know, people who are not into shape, it's just you have a gym membership to say you have one, but you're really not, like, training, you're really not, like, going at it like you should or whatever. I don't know.
Oh my God.
A brilliant niche. I mean, it really is.
Wait,
like, those people,
hang on, I'm so sorry, because we have 1 minute and 20 seconds for our show to end. And I mean,
1 minute
like
and
20. Yeah. Stay on with us. We're going to tell, we always tell grandma's toast,
which
is
fuck
them
all.
All right, wait, we're going to hang up on this. I love you. We love you. Thank you for calling. Bye.
Absolutely.